I'm just going to pray for Robert before we start, because this is his story. I'm here just to make sure he doesn't go on for too long. Father, we want to just ask you to guide Robert as he speaks to us, guide us as we listen, that we might be challenged, that we might hear the message that you have for us today. I ask you to bless him now as he shares his story. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Kath. Yes. Yes. Come on, children, and get your activity sheets. Yes. When I asked Robert some information about himself, he says, well, I've been a builder, a shopkeeper, a buyer at auctions, manager, supervisor, elder, scripture teacher, transporter, beekeeper, gardener, rally leader, and encourager. I said, well, stop there. So today we'll find out what God can do with a boy who decides to follow Jesus. Where did you grow up, Robert?
In a town called Greymouth, which some of you know, in the South Island of New Zealand, on the west coast. Some people call it the wet coast.
Okay. What was your home like?
Fairly normal. Loving parents, Christian parents, which I'm very thankful for. Had two sisters and one brother. So, I was asked the question, why did I go to Australia? Well, last time I was back at an elderly home that my brother was speaking at, and I said, perhaps to get away from you.
Yeah.
But no, not really. So it was, we lived on a farm, and the one thing I didn't like was on a Sunday afternoon when we went home and got in the old milking cows' clothes and milked the cows. It was okay, but I sort of didn't like that very much. And so that, I don't know if that had any inkling on my life, but God had his directions, not mine. Sunday school, well, we went once a fortnight because we lived out, even though it was only 20 miles in New Zealand, somebody's been there, there's winding roads and all the rest of it. And in the early days, my father only had a car between him and his brother, and his brother didn't go to church. And so we only could go to church once a fortnight. And the other Sunday, we did postal Sunday school movements from Auckland, New Zealand, which was great teaching. Become a Christian. I was at Sunday school through my life at those times. The age of 10 was challenged by God that I couldn't get to heaven any other way but by through him. From that time on, God worked in my life. And we've got to allow him. And after that, I was baptized at about 15, about 16, rededicated my life through a missionary who came from Thailand. And a challenge that stayed with me. And we need to commit our lives, and it probably was hard for my parents to see me leave the country. I knew from young teenager that I needed to serve God because of what he'd done for me. And I put a challenge to you parents, are you prepared to let your children go? It's not easy.
So, Robert, how did God guide you into a job after you left school?
Well, I had the job before I left school. In my third year of high school, Just mentioning, by the way, too, high school was you left at 7 o'clock in the morning and you got home about 5 o'clock at night. By biking, push biking for about 2 miles, which wasn't a flat road, it was down a steep hill, which I only rode up it once in my whole life, and that was with 3 speed gears, standing on the pedals. And then back again in the afternoon, catch one bus to go to a certain place to catch another bus, which most time was full when you got in it anyway. It came to a time when you started looking for a job about in the third year. They had an exam, a school certificate, at the end of that third year, but you had to pass English at 30%. And I knew I couldn't do it. Some people have trouble learning another language. I had trouble learning English. But the thing was that God was working, and my father had inquired a bit about an apprenticeship as a carpenter, because there's always building to do on the farm. And he said, you can always come back to the farm afterwards, because I showed an interest in the wood and that sort of thing. So I ended up with 2 apprenticeships that I had to choose from. One was with a building company with their joiner's shop. Another one was just a straight-out joiner's shop, with just you'd end up doing the same thing over and over again. So I chose the other one, which was advised to do, and left home at 16 to board during the week and go home at the weekends. And corners had to be knocked off too. When I got home, of course, I thought I didn't, at that age, didn't have to help milk the cows. My brother wakes me up one morning, come on, give me a hand, come on. I said, I don't have to go and milk the cows. My mother, who was very wise, says, I don't have to cook your meals either. She knew me better than I did myself. But she did it. And so that's how I ended up starting as an apprenticeship in a joinery factory.
Right. So if there was machines there, I've worked in a machine workshop, and I've seen how fast those machines can spin. Have you ever had any instance where it was dangerous?
Well, most high-speed machinery are dangerous if treated the right way.
And the wrong way. Yeah.
And this particular time, what Ian's referring to, was when I used to build the windows that you see around the church here, the wooden ones, and the tenons on them, and there's an arm that's about this wide, has sharp blades on it. Some are angled, some are straight. And we had to fit that up on what they call a shaper. I don't know how many thousand revs it's going a minute. But this particular day, I put the bit of timber into the clamp and clamped it down. But obviously, it must have been some bit of dirt or something underneath it. This day, it picked up that piece of wood and slashed it into the guards. And broke 3 of the 4 knives that was in it, and they were 3/8 high-speed steel. One went past me into a piece of timber 100 by 50, so 25 mil into this timber. If it had to gone through me, it would have went right through me and out the other side, and I wouldn't have been here. God brings you to a point of saying, I need you.
So you were lucky enough to get called up in the ballot to do national service.
That's the only lottery I've ever won.
Yeah. And what was that like, Robert?
Not the best of starting off, but one of the plumbers at work said to me, he said, well, Rob, you've got to go. So I said, the idea is to make the most of it. And so that's what I did. It wasn't easy being a Christian in a place like that, because most of the fellows that were in the same platoon was the ones I went to high school with. And there were, some of them were a pretty rough bunch from the West Coast, miners and things like that. But God is able. And God is there wherever we are, if we trust him. He's there anyway. And he can lead us and guide us if we trust in him. And most of, we had the biggest example was that we had given half a tent each, which meant you had to put the other half with somebody else's half to make a full tent when we went out camping. I never chose the person I bunked down with. God did. I left it in his hands, who it went to. And each one of those fellas needed a spiritual talking to. Not talking to, but advice that they wanted. As a 21-year-old, people don't think you're worth much, as it were. But God can work through each one of you children as well. And God's love is so much wonderful that he... Maybe I was able to help those men, maybe not. God knows.
Yeah. Okay, Rob. So you had in mind that about coming to Australia. Tell us, how come you came to Australia?
Well, there again, there's two places that I thought of that God might want to use me. I don't know why Australia and China, of all places, but I never got there.
Well, if you couldn't learn English, you're going to have trouble with Chinese.
God knew better than me, didn't he? You had to go to an English-speaking country. So, I bargained with God before I went into national service, before I got the call up, and said, God, if you need me in Australia, well, you know, if I don't get called up for national service, I'll go. But God's got his ways, not our ways. And he needed me to go to national service and knock a few corners off to live with other people. But we've got to be willing to be shaped and moulded. And sometimes that's not easy and very nice. But in the end, yeah. I submitted to God, right, and said,
so
I'll
who
go.
Was it that talked to you about coming to Australia? What made you think of that?
Well, Estelle's mum and dad had a world trip, basically, paid for them to tell what God was doing amongst the Aboriginal people in Kalgoorlie. And they happened to come, and I think they stayed with the people I used to board with at that stage. And so after they'd got back to Australia here, and there was a need for boys to be looked after in a dormitory, but they didn't have anybody to build it. Graham, so with his building experience and his building company, provided the labour to put that part of that building up. And it was that time that I finally come to Karawang just as that was basically starting, to do that job for 6 months.
Okay, so you got the building up and you had some boys that needed looking after. So what happened after the 6 months?
Well, coming towards the end of the 6 months, I was helping an older gentleman whose walking stick was a retired bootmaker. And that I was just giving him a hand in the evenings when I was doing some of the buildings. And the end of that stage that where I was living was needed for another family of eight. And so Mrs. Sharp asked me, "Where actually are you living at present?" And so she asked me if I wanted to move into the old house that was where the boys were. There was 15 boys from age, school age, 6 to 15, and I was only 21. No experience, no nothing, as far as boys concerned, only what my own antics got up to.
So you've probably had a good bit of experience then with what boys get up to.
Yes, and the one thing that God knew right from the beginning, that I could move fast. I was the sixth fastest in the high school that we went to. And being Aboriginal kids, I can run. And one of them said to me years later when they come back, when they'd grown up a bit, they says, "The only trouble with you was that they couldn't put it across me was that I could catch them." And I said, "I can only catch you when I want to."
Yeah. Okay. If it's a big job to look after, such a big family, a lot of boys together there, did you have help from anybody else? Other people come and help? Because obviously there were girls there as well.
Yes, it was when I first went there, there were 70 children altogether.
Right.
There was couples looking after the girls, and they cooked for the boys at night time. The boys made their own lunches. They helped around in that sort of thing.
Okay.
When I went there first to give Mr. McGeorge a hand, it was literally first up, best dressed. If it didn't fit, you just dropped it on the floor and walked over the top of it. And so with 15 boys, you can imagine what the mess there was.
Right. Okay, so was there office staff there to help manage the ordering of all the food and feeding all of these people and making sure that the government conditions were all adhered to?
Yeah, there was a shop. There was an office that at that stage Mr. Sharp was administering. Because of Mrs. Sharp's health, she was, they went down to Esperance each weekend to give her relief from her asthma. And that's a strange thing that I couldn't never get over. I could go to Esperance and my asthma would flare up within half an hour. And yet, when she came back to Karawang, her asthma would flare up. And it was just God's goodness and God's working in each one of our lives, those miracles that we see.
Right. Rob, what was the hardest part of being God's person to look after so many others? How did you cope with everything that happened?
Didn't think about it. Just did it. 24/7. Had great times. I'd do it all over again. But the thing was that to see people grow in their Christian life, come to know the Lord and grow and go on for Him.
Can you just tell us about one of the office staff that you...
What do you mean by that? I might be letting out some trade secrets, but never mind. Doreen was actually in the office. The first 2 years that she was there, it was like putting positive and negative around the wrong way and putting them together. So when we managed to get through that, God showed
us. You're saying that you didn't get along for the first 2 years.
She endeavoured to embarrass me. We'll just say that.
Okay.
I reciprocated, of course.
Yeah, okay. And then?
God showed me that looks and other things are only skin deep. It's the inside person that matters. If we want to serve God together, even though that many times we couldn't work on things together, the thing result that we wanted to please God with our lives.
And so was this a long courtship?
Very long, 3 weeks. Married 6 months later. But just remember that we saw each other every day. I mean, some of our courting was done after 9 o'clock at night when the boys were asleep. Well, hopefully, asleep.
Yeah, okay. What has been the best part of being a missionary at Currawang?
I don't really know. But mostly to see God's working in people's lives and them going on for the Lord. I was privileged to be involved in the crusade, the revival amongst the Aboriginal people. And some of that is still there today. And God works in people's lives in different ways, and many things we've perhaps been taught about them were myths. But yet, they needed to meet God on their ground as well. But to see young people coming to know the Lord and endeavouring to serve him. One camp we had, which I'd never run a camp before, never been to one hardly, been down to CYC one weekend, but 120 young people were gathered. The television station didn't want to know about it because there wouldn't be any fights. And those young people responded to God in a way that I've never seen before. And really helped us in seeing the fruit of our labour.
What advice would you give to a young person who was wondering what God might want them to do?
I've thought a bit about this one. I had no training as far as missionary service was concerned. I'd been to no Bible school. I was a nobody. But God can take the little we have. I was thinking of that song that Rahab had a string, David had a sling, Dorcas had a needle, but they were all used for God. Whatever we have, God can use us.
Thank you, Robert.